Good morning, friends. My name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here. And one of the things that we do, particularly in each of our services, is we have a vision and mission to find and follow Jesus together. We take that togetherness very seriously. We believe that you can't have community without friendships. And so the way that we just encourage each other to build that is we take 5 minutes during our service to invite you to grab. We have some donuts in the back. We have coffee as well. And that as you go and get coffee and donuts, we encourage you to get to know somebody. And for some of our introverts, you might not know how or what to say, so we kind of help you as a church. And so here's our prompt for this. What is your favorite way to relax? Like, how do you relax? So take the next 5 minutes and we'll see you back. We are so glad to be back together. And to hear all of the conversations and the relationships that you're building together. We are just so excited. We are in the midst of a series called Practicing the Way. And what that means for us is that we desire to be apprentices of Jesus. And as apprentices of Jesus, we want to form and shape our lives by the person of Jesus. What he said, we want to say. What he did, we want to do. And who he is like, we want to become like. And so that's the three paradigms for us as apprentices of Jesus. The paradigm of our relationship as disciples happens around three rhythms. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so as you wonder and as on your journey of discipleship or finding and following Jesus, and doing that together, this is where we will sit as disciples, as apprentices of Jesus. We desire deeply to be with him. We want to become like him, and we want to do what he did. And so if we want to become like Jesus, we really believe that we have to practice the way of Jesus. If we want the life that he offers, then we have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And so this morning, we are talking about Sabbath. As Jesus practiced the Sabbath as a good Jewish man, we want to understand how this practice of Sabbath formed Jesus and also forms us. And as I was like thinking about, I want to say this to Kyle. The question that we had this morning for our community time, I did not correlate it with what we were talking about this morning. This is what the Lord does. But I was thinking about this, and I was talking to friends about just this idea of Sabbath. I just heard people like, I mean, I love that idea, but I don't know if I can get around it. But I was just, as I heard and talked and sat with people, I think it's the thing that we need the most. Because as I was looking and studying and doing some research, it says 32% of people, almost 39% of people, don't get enough sleep. How many of you didn't get enough sleep? I know there's a couple people in the back, some ladies, that were like, I was up at 6:30 this morning, and teenagers don't get up at 6:30. Let's just be honest about it. And then it said 23% of people feel rushed all the time. Like, how many of you feel like rushed? I've seen some schedules. You have like zero time in between like appointments, so maybe that's you. Also, there's a thing that I found really interesting. In 2007, it found in a study that that people walk 10% faster than the decade earlier. For me, as a certain with short legs, it's like 30%. Because some of you, like, I've walked with you, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, right? Or we lived in Chicago, and we went to New York, man. And you just have to run, like, with you long-legged people, short-legged people. Feel me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It also said like 43% of people say sometimes they feel too tired to safely do their jobs. I know we have some pilots in here. If that's you, please get off the plane. Please. Clock out, cancel my flight. I'd rather you be awake. There's another thing that said 60% of people feel that they are sometimes too busy to enjoy life. Wow. 60% of this room. Maybe some of you resonate. You feel too busy to even enjoy life. And the last thing that I found really incredibly interesting, that there's no significant difference in all of the studies about people feeling rushed, whether it's by income, education, or by geographical area. You might think that whether you are more well off, you live in a certain area, that might change. If you live in a rural setting, that you don't feel rushed, you don't feel tired. But the studies all say that it doesn't matter your education, your income, or your geographical area, that people feel too rushed, too tired, too exhausted all the time. And so as I was thinking about this, if this is the truth of like what people are saying about their own lives, it tells me that Sabbath rest is essential for us as apprentices of Jesus. Because I don't believe that some of those numbers that we stand a part of it, actually what I think and I believe and know is that we are actually more similar in numbers and anxiety and restlessness and rushing around as the rest of the world. But if we are supposed to be apprentices of Jesus, to look and act like Jesus, I believe that Sabbath rest, deep rest, is essential to our apprenticeship under Jesus. And so this morning we're going to read from Exodus chapter 31. So if you have your Bible in front of you, whether that's digital or physical, I'd encourage you to open up and to read it along with me. It says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between you and your, between me and you for the generations to come, so that you will know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it will be put to death. Those who do any work on the day must be cut off from the people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is the day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death, and the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, many of us come and we are weary. We are sleep deprived. We are anxious. We are on edge. Our cup is full to the brim. And Father, for many of us, we are seeking relief, asking for relief, and hoping that it comes. And some of us maybe are trying so hard to make it a reality. Some of us don't know how to rest. God, me included. Seems hard to rest in you when there's so much to do. But Lord, this morning I pray that you would send the Spirit who is our comforter, who is our counselor, who is the ever presence of God with us. And God, as you rest on us, would you relax our shoulders? Would you quiet our minds? Would you still our hearts so that we can see you, that we can hear you, we can know you and love you? We ask this in your name. Amen. Friends, I believe if all the facts that were mentioned above are true, in our current state of life and society around us, that we need to disconnect more than anything else. And it's through Sabbath that we learn this process of disconnecting. Because the word Sabbath, if you've never actually been heard of a Sabbath or been thought about what that looks like, a Sabbath is really this. It's 24 hours where you learn to disconnect and delight. For some other ways that it might be is where you stop, you rest, you delight, and you worship. For 24 hours, a Sabbath is where we disconnect from our normal day and we connect with God. And so that's the word Sabbath. Doesn't mean just rest in the normal sense. The word Sabbath also means to cease, to desist. And so that means that we stop. We empty ourselves of the worries of the day, of the worries of the week, and we learn to rest. We learn to disconnect. Because the truth is, we live in the most connected society that has ever existed. If your sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, barbers, husbands, sister, if you know what she's going on in her life, I think you know too much. I mean, social media is not just a young person thing. I have a number of my mom and my friends have heard. She's like, "Oh, did you know what your friend's doing from high school?" I was like, "No, mom, I don't care." She's like, "Oh, well, you should. They got some interesting things going on in their life." I'm like, "Mom, why you worry?" Right? Or the fact that is, if you want news, you don't have to wait till the Sunday morning paper that was like back in the day $1.50 or $2. Remember that? Like you had to go in and they only printed so much. So if you were not the early bird, you don't get the worm. But nowadays, if you want an update, you not only can go on your phone to the news section, you can go to Twitter, you can go anywhere else and find information at the palm of your hand. You can get updated with exact things that are happening right now in someone's life or in the world around you. It's said that 77% of young adults, and I believe this is like even young adults and older and younger, when they have nothing that is occupying their attention, they reach for their phone. How many of us is that true? When you got nothing going on, all of a sudden it's like the next thing that's interesting, you need that dopamine hit, and so you reach for your phone. FOMO is not, and also a word that over the last decade has come and risen into relevance. If you don't know what FOMO is, it's a fear of missing out. It's the rise of social media where people put on things that are going on in their lives. And often for young people, if they're not invited, they fear this idea of missing out. And they are not, so that when they go into their social context, they feel like they are left out, abandoned, not up to date, and so thus gets pushed further and further and further out of their social context. I mean, how many of us, even in the midst of the last 5 years when everything was kind of coming back into place, that people were doing things, going places, and you were like, man, I wish I could go and do those things. This is the reality that we live in. And so for Sabbath, for us as disciples of Jesus, that it means Sabbath over a period of time of 24 hours. It says you have 6 days to work and you have one day to disconnect from work, from your everyday duties, from the tasks that are on your to-do list that have been there for weeks, from any business at all. And you might be thinking, this is just for, and I want to encourage you, like, this isn't talking about a legalistic way that, like, you have to do stop doing this and stop doing this. If you lift a finger, if you stop caring for kids, like, if you keep caring for kids, you're like, oh my gosh, am I not resting? But the practice of Sabbath isn't about legalism, but it is an invitation to free yourself from the daily expectations and requirements that are often put on you from exterior pressures of how to be, how to live, what to get done, what you should do, and who should influence your life. And so we talk about this idea is it's not only just in the same way that we are trying to disconnect. The Sabbath is not just about disconnecting, but it's also connecting. That through Sabbath we learn not only to disconnect, but we learn to connect. It says in the text in Exodus 31 that you are to be, the Sabbath is to be holy to the Lord. And that you're not just to sit there and do nothing. It is not just about emptying yourself, but being filled. To emptying yourselves of the things that don't matter or the things that are just can be put off for 24 hours in order to be filled by the one in which whom life comes. The practice of Sabbath is not an escape for 24 hours from the world, but it's a time to enjoy and abide in the presence of God more freely. Sabbath is the giving up in order to give in to God's presence with more and more intention. And not only was in Exodus, but later on, as the Israelites were forming into God's people, as they were wandering, they were reminded often to celebrate and to keep the Sabbath. In Leviticus chapter 23, it says this. Again, God is reminding his people as they prepare to go into the Holy Land, to live where God has designed them to live. He wants to remind them this. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. And I thought this was interesting. There's two like phrases in there, both assembly, but also wherever you live. Like the purpose of Sabbath is not only to rest, to cease, to desist, in order that you might gather together with God and one another, to delight in work. That word assemble. Like, you know, I mean, if I was going to be in more context, it'd be like, Avengers, assemble, right? Like, you know, like Captain America grabbing like Thor's hammer and everybody's like, ah, right? Like, yes, that's what it means. To gather together with your people. In order to celebrate what the Lord has done in you and through you, what he has provided for you and what he has provided for you now and will in the future. The gathering together is to connect with the Lord. And I love that it says, like, wherever you live. And he's saying that because sometimes later on, the Israelites will be scattered and they won't be close to the temple. And so they physically can't get to the temple to gather together. But he's saying, the Lord is saying, wherever you are, there are people who belong to the Lord, who believe in God and Yahweh. Gather together, assemble with them wherever it is so that you might delight in the Lord. And so this morning, like, we're talking about not only that when we are talking about Sabbath, we're not talking about isolation, but we are talking about being with the whole of the gospel of what it looks like to rest, to connect with God, to connect with the Holy Spirit, to spend time in intentionality of becoming like Jesus. And we believe that the practice of Sabbath actually slows us down enough in order to connect with the God who walks slowly. We practice it by connecting with God and one another's, which is fulfillment of the great commandment. This is what we're talking about, connecting with God and with one another. It's not just looking at the text and saying, oh, I can't do anything. It means I just sit at my house and I can't talk to my neighbors. I can't text. I can't call. But Jesus later says that the fulfillment of all the commands, this included, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love God and to love your neighbor. It is not only just a connecting with God, but to connecting with others. The intentionality of opening yourself up to desist and to cease and to stop doing so that you might connect with God and with others. And this is our testimony. And so what I wanted to do is we like to give a little bit of handholds. And one of our priorities this year is to share stories of discipleship. And I want to invite my friend Wendy up. She is going to share a little bit about her experience within Sabbath. Wendy has been part of a pilot group called Practicing the Way. It's a group that meets every week and goes through of practicing the way of Jesus. And so she has been really walking through this with a group. And so I want to invite her to come and share her story. And so, I mean, I guess the first question is, like, Sabbath, new. Like, what is it, like, as a new practice, what does it mean for you? Like, is it new? Is it foreign?
Yeah. I think as a kid, you know, and I'm someone who was born in the early 60s. It was very quiet, and we also had a lot more cultural support. You know, stores weren't open. You know, it was a fact that, like, 9/11 or 7/11 in the late 1969 was, like, one of the first stores to be open on a Sunday and then 24 hours. So I remember as a kid, it was, Sunday was at home, it was together, but then as things progressed, it became much busier, and I don't really remember hearing about the Sabbath, even though I grew up in a home that was, went to church every Sunday, but the words, the Sabbath, was not really something that was part of our Western Christian culture and stuff. And until I got into the group that you mentioned, our Monday night group, we are seeking to become more like Jesus and to know him and to do the things that he did. So then it really was a paradigm shift. So I also grew up thinking that the Sabbath was for those extreme, very stern groups, you know, where you couldn't light a candle because that would be doing creation, right? That would be God's work. And to me, it was a mental model of all the things you can't do. You know, and so what's been really awesome is with our group, we've discovered that it's a gift. And so trying to transform that paradigm into to thinking of it as a gift and all the possibilities I get to do rather than those things I'm forbidden to do.
Yeah. That's so good. I mean, I think even that word, like you said, is not even knowing what the word like Sabbath. It wasn't in your community of faith. Then how can you practice it? Yeah. So what have you learned over this last year about the practice of Sabbath?
Well, I think first of all was, you know, the way they broke it down, the format to stop, desist, you know, so, and like we are studying the Beatitudes and how Jesus, you know, while he's given us the grace and a lot of freedom, but on the other hand, he also increased the standard, right? It's not enough that you don't murder, but you can't even think about being angry and calling somebody an idiot. And so the idea of not working, but also not even thinking about work, right? You know, so trying to put aside, the idea of, oh, I gotta be ready for that meeting on Wednesday. So, you know, as soon as the Sabbath thing's over, I gotta get on and get prepared for that, right? So trying to really, truly set aside that stop and then rest, you know, yeah. It's like even the questions, what does rest mean for you? For me, it's probably doing something. My favorite pastime or rest is to go climb a mountain. You know, it's like, that was something I really struggled with for 8 years. At Boeing, I had a team of 48 people and I was working probably 60 hours a week on the tanker program, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And then on the weekend, what did I do? Every weekend I was on top of a summit somewhere, right? So talk about arduous good. For me, that challenge, those are the kind of things I like to do. So, having to redefine what rest is, and also how do I not work, and then the other thing was the delight. So that was a really, like I said, I had this paradigm shift.
Yeah, that's a good word.
That you know, I saw these people where, you know, you're kind of in the dark because, you know, you can't light candles, and you know, so. So what does that mean? And having to figure that out was quite interesting. I think I also learned that to kind of put bumpers in place. Anybody gone bowling? And you know, you put these bumpers in the gutter so that...
Who's a bumper bowler? Aw, y'all stink. Come on. It's a better way to bowl. You get more than an 84.
But I had to kind of put some things in place to kind of help me make this paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Right? So, for me, I learned that it's really about relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And then also, that how do you build a relationship, right? And so one of the, I think the videos that we looked at, was building a relationship. You know, when you're first dating or even a new friend, you kind of really want to learn what it is they like.
Yeah.
And when you really want to show somebody special that you care about them, what do you do? And so it's kind of like getting that mindset instead of like, well, how do I really show God, show Jesus that this is a relationship that's important to me?
Yeah.
And so trying to do the things that make them happy was a real paradigm shift, right? You know, so with that in mind, then stopping, working, rest, delight, and worship kind of takes on a new meaning.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, that celebration of that person. And so trying to make it a special day. And I just remember kind of being surprised that, well, a holiday starts with holy. And it's like, you know, it's like holy day. It twinge on that I'd really never kind of connected those pieces that, to make it a holiday or a holy day was to really be intentional.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of had to start planning well, how do I set that aside? And so we've been practicing, I don't know, maybe 9 months. It was when that topic was put into the curriculum.
Yeah.
And so Thursday, Friday, I start thinking about, well, how am I going to make it special? And I'm still, you know, some days or some weekends I'm better at that than others. But I have really kind of changed my mind as to, or my practices. I can't tell you the last time I ever went to the store or gas station or anything on a Sunday, because I plan ahead and I make sure that, you know, I might occasionally spontaneously go out to dinner with somebody,
yeah.
But even if that doesn't happen, I've got everything at home that I need,
yeah.
So that I'm not at Fred Meyer's waiting in line or anything like that. Some of those mundane things.
It's still that delight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I plan ahead to make sure. I think also it's still kind of baby steps. You know, you and I talked that I still kind of struggle with how do you make it a ritual?
Yeah.
Because I'm the type of person that really resents that I have to brush my teeth again and again and again, right?
There won't be brushing teeth in heaven, I promise you that. The Lord's going to do something here.
It's like, you know, I'm the person who hates to do the same thing over and over and, you know, and stuff. So how do I ritualize this?
Yeah.
And I kind of mentioned earlier that, you know, for about 8 years on the weekend, I was on I've summited Little Tahoma, I've summited Mount Adams, Mount Baker, and I have to say it's very spiritual to be in the midst of God's creation.
Yeah.
I've been some places where maybe only 1% of the population has ever seen,
yeah.
And to me the glory of God's creation is very, very connected to me.
Yeah.
So how do I now blend that with, I also feel like I'm being called to be more obedient and to be in fellowship. And it's not always about me. Maybe I don't need to be in this room to be filled with God's Spirit. But I think maybe me talking to one of you might be what you need, you know, so it's more than just me, you know, and so I'm struggling with, well, how do I build that into a ritual that is of delight and celebration?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that, I mean, it's beautiful. So if you could just give us like, what's like one thing, a takeaway, if somebody who's like never done this practice before, practicing Sabbath, like how would you encourage them to enter into this like process of practicing a Sabbath?
Well, I have a couple mottos in life, and one of them is you get out of it what you put into it.
Mm.
You know, and it's served me well in my career, my relationships, you know, and so I think, you know, stop phoning it in.
Mm.
You know,
it,
you really have to commit to it. And, you know, I'd be willing to guarantee, if you will, that if you really are deliberate in seeking to be with Jesus, to become more like Jesus, and to do the things that Jesus did, you're not only going to grow, you're going to be rewarded. Mm. I think the blessings that come from that are going to surprise you. And then I think more logistically, personalize it.
Mm.
So, you have to kind of define for you what is your definition of work? You know, what does, and unpack it, you know, figure out what is work for you. I think for me, that format of stop, rest, delight, and worship helped me understand that a bit. And there's a lot you can get into there,
yeah.
You know, and stuff. And then be intentional, you know, so, whether, you know, celebrations don't have to be elaborate. You know, as you get older, you don't really care so much about how you celebrate your birthdays. You know, it's not about gifts and stuff. It's about the experience of being with those people that you care about.
Yeah.
And then differentiate it? So how do I make, you know, because like, I pray every day.
Yeah.
I reach out and trust and faith in God every day. So what am I going to do to make this day different than the other 6 days?
Yeah.
And I think that's a little, challenging, you know, it's like, so it's like, well, I pray God day every day. So what is so different about this day? And so, I think those are the three things that I would recommend.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing just part of your story of Sabbath with us. I'm going to keep you up here for a moment. I'm going to ask you something.
That was
one of the things that was not. Once you're up here, right? There's a phrase that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. It says this, come to me and I will give you. I heard it. Some of y'all knew it. But how, if our lives could bear witness or testimony to fill the blank on any of this, what would you want in the blank besides? Is it an extra hour? Is it help around the house? Is it a promotion? Is it like a Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, a timeout, right? You can pause everything. Just get what you need done and then time back in. But how relevant is Jesus' words to us this day? Come to me, all who are wearied and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Think, come and you will find rest. And the reason, like, I love this is, like, another word for practice is spiritual discipline, but I love this word practice because it's something that you, if you're trying to get better at something, when I'm taking my 6-year-old to soccer every week, we have not just a game, but we have practice. And this is where we learn to get better at him becoming a soccer player. This is where we learn as we practice Sabbath. This is where we learn to rest. How many of us are trying to find rest, seek rest, make rest, forgetting all the while Jesus' call to come, all who are heavy burdened and weary, and he who is rest will give you rest. This is the good news. In the same way you cannot earn grace, but it is freely given to you. In the same way, you shouldn't go seeking out and earning rest, but freely receiving it as a gift, an exchange from your heaviness for his lightness. And that happens when you come to him and sit with him in purpose, when intention, and practice the way of Jesus and saying, I give you, even for a short period of time, I give you this, and Father, will you give me rest through the Spirit? This is the good news of Jesus Christ, is that you don't have to come and earn your rest, but you have to come just as you are. But the truth is, you have to come. You have to come. So my encouragement to you as we move into the end, and as we reflect as a community, I encourage you to practice. Find a way this week. Plan. Think about how are you going to observe and practice the Sabbath. What day this week? It can be multiple days. Well, not multiple days. It can be any day. Like multiple days of rest. Oh, Lord have mercy. The staff's like, you ain't coming in on Monday? Nope, it's my Sabbath. Like, but choose a day. Be intentional. If you can't do 24 hours, do 12. If you can't do 12, do 6. If you can't do 6, do 2. How about maybe this? If you can't do anything, and it's been a long time, just eat with someone. And intentionally give that eating to the Lord. And see what he does. See what he does. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you're speaking to us through the noise. But there is something that you have for us. What are you saying? Holy Spirit, you've been speaking when we woke up. You're speaking now. What word do you have for us about the rest that we need from you? It's not for work. It's not for relationships. It's not for anything we're achieving. What is a word for our deep, deep soul? Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. Will you come and do what only you can do? We ask this in your name. Amen.